Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Welcome to the Cookbook Circle podcast. I'm Hannah.
And I'm Victoria.
We're two friends with a shared love of food, cooking, and all things cookbooks.
We are now in the third season of this podcast. Ooh. And this one is all about, well, not really anything in particular. We are themeless. So you can expect deep dives on certain dishes, reviews of cookbooks, of course, but there'll be new cookbooks, old cookbooks, all sorts of cookbooks. And of course, we'll be asking you, our lovely listeners, for some input on episodes that we're going to do.
It's going to be so
fun. It's going to be so fun.
Fun. And if you love what we do, we're also on Patreon. This means if you'd like to support us, your subscription will help to cover the podcast's costs, from the books themselves to the ingredients for what we cook. And in return, you'll get some fun stuff like bonus mini-sodes. To find out more, visit our website, thecookbookcircle.com, or you can find the link in our show notes. Thanks, friends. Now, let's get to the fun part.
Hello, Hannah.
Hello, Victoria. How do you do?
How do you do? I do good. How do you do?
I do well. A week off work, baby. I'm living my free
nice
life.
Yeah, for you.
I know.
What are you doing?
I'm going to Munich, yeah.
Yeah.
And Salzburg.
Do you have any food plans for Germany?
I don't, you know, but I'm shit at researching until I'm like in the airport. So I'll get a little list going then. Any recommendations? Nice. Will be too late.
We'll be detailing it because you're going tomorrow and this won't come out for a bit. I don't have any recommendations for you, sorry, as
That's
you know.
Okay.
I've never spent any time in Germany.
Well, I'm also going to Austria, and apparently there's a thing called a Mozart cake or something, because he was born there.
Oh, I think I've seen those.
Yes, they look wonderfully twee. What's it made of? Soft meringue and hazelnut praline cream topped with fine dark chocolate flavoured shavings. Dark chocolate flavoured shavings.
Somebody's like, you know, shaving their beard in the mornings and then they're just putting some cocoa in there.
Gross. Beard shavings. How are you? What you been?
I am fine. Weather updates, lovely and sunny, but we have been reading and discussing this article that was in The Guardian last week. It's about 21 weird snacks loved by top chefs. And I love this shit. Like, it's so,
so
fun.
Good.
And it's just like what they eat when they're at home or when they get back from their shift. Or,
yeah.
You know, what, you know, their kind of guilty pleasures, which I don't think they should be guilty about, guilty about, because it's all great. And it kind of ranges from buried Baby Bell pot noodle.
I love that one. So it was about putting like a whole Baby Bell cheese at the bottom of your noodle, right? And then pouring in the water. And so by the time you get to the end of your noodles, there's like a little melty cheese gift.
Yeah, I mean, weird. That is inspired. A lot of this is inspired, actually. What do you have a favourite?
I really enjoyed the idea of, where is it? The fried egg and apricot jam sandwiches.
Yes, me too.
Weird. I don't know how I feel about it, but I would be intrigued to try it. I guess like eggs are, you know, quite savoury, so with something sweet, they probably work. But also, mashed sandwiches. Like, I have long been a proponent of, like, potato on bread in any form for, like, all the carbs. And that sounds delicious. Also, the palm bear, which is a crisp, and dairy milk sandwich. So it was like, you put like two palm bear crisps around a square of dairy milk. And like, yeah, that stuff's great, right? Like, they have that in Japan, don't they? Like, crisps that have a drizzle of chocolate on them. So it's kind of sweet,
or like
and
dipped
salty
in chocolate. Yeah, I love that. I do like palm bears as much as the next person. And I feel like they're a good crisp for that, because they're kind of, so they're, for anyone who doesn't know what a palm bear is and have them in their place of living, is they're just like little crisps, like shaped like bears, basically.
Yes, they're very thin and quite like, they're a bit oily, aren't they?
Yeah, they're very crispy.
The salted ones, or the salt and vinegar ones are better, but they're a rare sight. Usually it's just that ready salted.
I love that there's a instant noodle sandwich, I love that. And but also, here's my take on that, is put it in a wrap. I feel like a wrap with noodles in it is a better shout than like a bread, because what about the sog? The wrap will like, it won't go soggy around.
Interesting. Interesting. Are you putting any like anything else in there, or is it literally just wrap and the kind of seasoned instant noodles? Is there any like sauces, any additions?
Well, I was thinking about like what my, you know, guilty pleasure-y thing snack is, and I feel like one of them is QP mayo on noodles, of all sorts of instant noodles, like just that. And like, maybe that's not, you know, a game changer in terms of, you know, this stuff, but yeah, I love that QP mayo. So maybe a little bit of QP mayo.
Nice.
I think put that, that's my, you know, tip. And if you, it's because it's sweet, like QP mayo has got like apple juice in it, which is what makes it kind of taste, well, one of the things that makes it taste so different to normal mayonnaise. And it just takes away the kind of very savouriness of instant noodles.
Interesting. Yeah, it is. It's a completely different flavour, isn't it, QP? I quite like it. The other one that was interesting in there was the Jacob's Cracker cream cheese and strawberry jam, which is like cheesecake vibes, right? But we do that in our family, but we do it with a digestive biscuit. So that is full, like mini cheesecake. My sister put that up on Instagram recently, actually, because she's like a mother influencer type, being like,
I saw that.
Hack for the kids, like mini cheesecakes. And they are delicious if you're into cheesecakes but don't want to commit to an entire
one. Do you subscribe to the chips in ice cream or milkshake thing?
Yes, I do. It's not something I actively do because I never really order ice cream that much, or like, you know, in a setting where you're having chips. But I remember a girl doing it in uni and my mind being blown and tasting it, and then was like, actually no, I kind of get it. But yeah, it's the cold, it's the warm, the sweet, the salty. Are you not convinced?
I mean, I don't really love that, like, I don't like milkshake, so I wouldn't do it as a milkshake. But I feel like I'm not in that, I've never been in that situation to have, like, in McDonald's or something, where I've got a McFlurry and my chips. I feel like you'd order separately, because if you want to really... But I you know, people do it, right? So it must be delicious.
Well, in this piece, it's vanilla ice cream with wasabi peas, isn't it? And gherkins is another one, right?
But there is also salty fries and McDonald's milkshake. But, yeah.
Okay.
There's also gherkins and, like very thinly sliced gherkins to wrap around chips. Love that.
Yeah.
As we know. Like a pickle.
I spoke in the last episode about how I don't love a gherkin, but I understand it. I get what people are doing here. The last one that was really weird to me, and I just don't know if I'm there yet, yet to be convinced, not quite there, is the chocolate fudge cake and feta cheese. I'm not sure. Damn. Used to eat it as an after school snack. Who's getting chocolate fudge cake after school?
Yeah, and feta. Like, oh, I've just got some feta in there.
I don't know how. I don't know. Is he sprinkling? What's he doing? He says it makes you salivate. I don't know. I don't know how I feel about that.
I mean, I kind of get it, but also, I guess in like a cream cheese thing. Yeah. But I just, it's not my.
No.
I feel like I feel like all the ones that like drew me in this article, and we'll put the article in the show notes, whatever, but, is all the very like savory things, and
yeah,
also like the one thing I don't like about a mash sandwich is there's no texture there, and I need, but then I dip the whole sandwich in and fry it,
so wow,
so then you've got like a crunchy, so that works for me. I need to put a crisp in there for like triple carb.
Yeah.
If it wasn't like toasted bread.
Yeah, I don't think I would envision that with a sliced pan. I think like a crusty baguette would be my. Because we've spoken about the Irish deli before and how you get like a roll and there's usually two choices of potato salad. There's like the chunks or there's mashed potato salad, and I would always get the mashed potato salad because then it's the crispy. And then some whatever else is going on in there as well. I love food. The Pringles with caviar was quite fun as well.
Because we all just have caviar knocking around.
From some like really fancy chef at like Park Lane in London or something, which makes sense. That idea of like something really posh with something quite like, mainstream is quite fun. But we'd love to know our listeners' weird combos. But... That's not what we're here to talk about today. We're here for a redemption episode.
Redemption. Our first redemption episode.
Well, is it a redemption? That remains to be seen. We don't
know. Yes, we will see. But we are back with Ms. Roman.
Alison Roman.
Not Roman Roy. R.I.P. Succession. Which just wrapped. You thought I'd spoiled that for you then,
did
you?
Yeah, I did. I was about to lose my absolute shit. I'm way behind on Succession.
And hasn't finished. Just R.I.P. Succession. Great show of all time. Yes.
Alison Roman.
Miss Alison Roman.
Sweet Enough. All lowercase. Just for reference.
Of course.
A beautiful cover.
Do you think? Yeah. She's got great name. Look.
Yeah.
Well, we'll go through this, but I think she's got such good nails, doesn't she?
She's a babe. We've said this before. She's an absolute babe. So we have previously discussed Alison Roman in our last season. We covered her first two books, Dining In and Nothing Fancy. We won't talk about like her background and her bio too much because we covered that in that episode. So please do go back and listen if you haven't heard it. But we, spoiler, didn't really love those books. But we were intrigued by this one because it felt like her baking recipes were really good in those books. And this book is an entirely baking book. And I read a little bit about it on Vogue, who covered Alison Roman. Like, surely that is like... That's fucking hell. How many chefs have been covered in Vogue? That is, you know.
I mean, whether or not we redeem her in this episode based on this book, she has had a media redemption with this book launch, right? Like, we, you know, a year and a half ago, she was cancelled.
Mm-hmm.
And now she's everywhere.
She is.
It's been quite the anyway, you're probably going to talk about this, but yeah.
No,
been interesting to watch, I think.
Yeah, but I spoke to someone about this whose theory was that that's very much a UK thing, not a US thing, that she still has a bit of a... She's still got some work to do in the US. So it'd be interesting to hear from US listeners on their view. But certainly this book came out, a few weeks ago, quite recently, we're like March, and in the UK, and she, Alison, was everywhere. She was on all our like morning foodie TV shows, and she did like a big book launch at the Standard in London that was all over Instagram. And
she did that other podcast about food that I don't remember the name of, that is vaguely popular, I think. I'm sure you guys don't listen to that, so you don't know, but I heard she was on that.
So she, the Vogue piece says she was in many ways the human equivalent of celery, one of her signature ingredients, deeply polarizing, but as she says herself, if you're into it, you're really into it. And it, you know, I mean, it's Vogue, so it kind of is a bit, I don't know, doting. So they asked her about like why she's done a desserts only book, and apparently her publisher suggested that her second book would only be about desserts, and she said no way, because she really wanted to establish herself as a home cook, and that it was really important to her that the work that she was putting out was serving a purpose, and you need dinner more than dessert. So she made a bargain with her publisher that she was not going to focus on sweets in the second book, but she would entertain doing it for the third. And so after Nothing Fancy, she did feel a bit fatigued by standard recipe writing that she what are you spluttering at there?
just that I'm a bit bored of writing, you know, recipes. Anyway, it's fine. I'm fine.
Look,
I don't know why I get like this about Alison Roman. I don't know. That particular phrase has just annoyed me.
Well, look, I mean, there's a lot of these, you know, Molly Baz was somewhat similar, right? Like they're lucky, right? They get to do an amazing job and have cracked into an industry that's really, really hard to, you know, we would give anything to write recipes all day long, right? Like so it is a privilege. So it is kind of annoying when they don't act like it is, but you know, whatever. Yeah, so she kind of talks a lot, and she does at the start of this book about how she's never like too perfectionist as a pastry chef, right? Because that was her background originally. She said that she was really annoying as a pastry chef because she just didn't understand the logic of some of the steps, and she had to kind of ask loads of questions. Or I think that's fairly standard. But she would, if there wasn't a good reason for something, she would do something totally different. And then she said in this book, she's basically like distilled 15 years of information of trial and error into this book. In the start of this, as I said, and I get this, right? Because I'm the same. I, as we know, did a pastry course, but I still feel very, very scrappy. And I've never really loved the like, and that will be proved in the pictures of my recipes, which I'll talk about shortly, that I just never really liked the very perfect like aesthetic of stuff. And she says that too, like there's something great about that, you know, a lasagna is so cheesy that it's impossible to cut into perfect squares. Or she likes a bit of, she says, I admit that I didn't this is funny. No, she says her recipe style and aesthetic could be described as rustic, carefree, approachable, and her desserts tend to follow suit. Perfect they are not. I admit that I didn't so much choose this aesthetic as this aesthetic chose me. I love that.
Nice.
The thug life. Alison Rowan didn't choose her.
A messy bitch line. You know, fair play. Me too. Being messy and, you know, cutting corners, that life chose me as well.
She says that she, like, you know, she's still not an expert. Her pies still leak, cheesecakes crack, you know, whatever. They're a bit wonky, but perfection is boring. Which, I mean, I do rate that. But, I mean, her stuff still looks beautiful. The pineapple upside down cake and like all the photos in this are gorgeous.
This photo, the photos, they're all like a holiday, right? They're all like, a lot of them are outside.
It's very
like
Italian Riviera.
Yes, with all of her beautiful, who I imagine are her friends, right? I feel like so it's not just her in the photos.
No,
but there's a lot of like headless bodies,
attractive bodies
of very attractive bodies. You know, some of them are just, they're at the beach or they're outside on what you imagine is her, like, you know, Manhattan or probably Brooklyn, like balcony or whatever.
Yeah. Well, she's bought a place upstate now, apparently, and she's opening a store, which is like an extension of her pantry, basically. apparently. So you can, that's like stuffed to the gills with like Pirello olives and like shit.
Yeah,
like that.
Jeez.
What about this man in tiny shorts on page 90? They're very small.
Yeah. They're very small. And there's nothing, he's not wearing anything else, is he? And also, are they even shorts? Like, as in, like, they look like they're denim shorts, but that looks like it's painted on, doesn't it? Like, it looks like it's like a print of denim shorts on a pair of,
we
like,
have to
swimming
put this
trunks
up on Instagram. It's, I got a little start when I saw that.
He's got, like, goggles around his neck. But, yeah, it's very, it's definitely got an aesthetic. And also, I think it's very Bon Appetit.
Yeah.
Alum-y. Like, it's a quite Molly Basley. Like, it has these, like, interludes, doesn't it? Where, like, the font goes all big and there's, like, a story or, you know, the font changes and, like, certain words are picked out in different colours and, like, there's, like, rhubarb is a gift and, like, one whole page is just, like, a close-up picture of rhubarb.
If you overthink it, this dessert immediately becomes less fun. That's a whole one-page thing for the salted cookies and cream.
Ice cream in melon. Like, it's just,
It's very trendy.
It's very trendy. And it feels, I don't love a lot of those pages where they aren't recipes and it's all, a lot of that doesn't feel consistent to me, but the recipes are, you know, written beautifully. It's lovely.
She's toned down a little bit of her overly conversational kind of millennial speak, hasn't she? That was one of our gripes in the old
books,
was like there was a lot of like chat before a recipe, kind of with a lot of, I don't know, I could take a bath in some jelly or something. It would just be like a lot.
Yes.
And I think she's toned that back a little bit. Not entirely.
Yes. Yeah, I think so. Yeah, not entirely. I think that she, there's a lot of blank person notes in here. Like, Alison Roman is not a dessert person.
Yeah.
Right? Is that a dig at Claire Saffitz? And then there's a couple of other bits in there that are like, oh, I'm a ice cream, or I'm a fruit person, or I'm a salt person, or
salt.
Whatever. Like, and
she's,
I feel like,
is, isn't she? Everything, salt. Everywhere is like salted lemon pie, salted pistachio shortbread, salted. There's a ton of the recipe titles
so
have
much
salt in the title.
There's a whole thing about the whole like section about fruit, isn't there? And that, and she's just like, salt your fruit, which I absolutely agree with. I think it's, and you know, salt your fruit, salt your salad, like all of that stuff. And I absolutely agree with that. And then she has a note in the beginning that's like, you know, mostly when you do a baking recipe or have a baking book, you want to add more salt. Don't do this with my recipes. They have lots of salt in them. I love salt.
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah. Salt and like anchovies.
Yes.
Her like her brand, right?
Totally. And great nails.
Yeah,
so it's divided up into, I quite like the contents page actually, and she does say there's this note at the start which is like, read a recipe start to finish before making it, which is like, I know, basic but also fucking wise words, because how many times do you like think you're gonna make something quick and then it needs to like chill in the, you know, fridge for an hour or something.
Yes.
So it is, where is, oh yeah, it's divided up into pies, tarts, galettes. In that piece in Vogue, I think she said, or maybe it's in the intro, she says she makes like galettes all day summer, all summer long, and she could like make one with her eyes closed. Cakes, things called pudding, cookies, frozen things. I've got all this fruit now, what? That's very Molly Bowes. Morning time, snack time, staples and extras. And there's a lot in here. There's a ton of recipes. I feel like I've even missed them. But nothing nuts, you know, a bit like Ravni or someone. It's not like, there's no mad combinations or anything in here. It's like strawberry galettes or apple galettes, like, you know, raspberry ricotta cake, chocolate pudding, toasted rice pudding, like a lot of shortbread. Yeah, it's nothing, I wouldn't say she's gone crazy on the trendy ingredients or like tons of miso or, you know, stuff like that in here. She's kept it fairly classic, like bananas foster and stuff like that as well. Cinnamon rolls.
Yeah, there's a lot of that, isn't there? Like, the, I basically skipped the whole like pudding thing because I'm,
yeah, I never got that
jam, but it's
what about with jam?
oven jam, stovetop jam. She has them all. She has it all. Yeah, no, I agree. I didn't see any miso. I didn't see anything that I felt like, oh God, I don't know where I'm going to get that.
Yeah.
I also think, and I don't know if this is the case, but it's, I guess we both have the UK version, right?
Yeah.
It's all in grams, but there is cups and ounces in there as well.
Yeah.
But I did wonder if this has been almost like translated, like cream, for example. Mm. We don't call it heavy cream here. Or that's not how it's labeled. It's like double cream or single cream.
Yeah.
And I think that double cream is used in here rather than that. So I thought that that's a nice kind of touch.
I like how she does the pairings, though. Eat with, and she'll say, like, have it with. Like, these cinnamon sandies. She's like, eat with eggnog? Feels right. Or, like, you know, she recommends some wines or hot coffee. And, I mean, some of this is very her. This bowl of salted chocolate pudding. Of course it's salted. Eat with. At the end of your next gathering, when the lights are low and the music is loud and you think you've run out of wine, but find that one extra bottle in the back of the fridge, that's the moment to bring out this bowl of chocolate pudding. That's her.
It is very important to have, you know, a pudding for that specific moment
in time. I shove my puddings right out right after dinner to just get them out of the way.
If we could just, you know, create a false sense of panic that we've got no wine left, but then
be like, how about pudding? Anyway, what did you make, my friend?
What did I make? So, you may remember,
you may recall,
that on a recent podcast I said I was having a bit of trouble with cooking.
Yes,
I said I was having some issues with cooking, and I was having a bit of a disaster. And I'd cooked some stuff from a book, and that we were going to do. This was the book.
Oh no!
I basically cooked three things prior to doing stuff specifically for the pod, and they all were not great. No,
oh my God.
One was absolutely fine.
Yeah,
And the other two. So the thing I made, I won't talk about them too much, but the thing I made that I was really disappointed that didn't turn out were the scones. Sweet enough scones, and they're like some nice scones. They've got like raspberries in them. Mine just were the dough was so wet.
Oof.
I kept adding more. Anyway, there's that. And I'm like, I said, I made the salty lemon shortbread, and but it was the wrong recipe. And then I also made the sour cream pound cake, which is like a chocolate sour cream pound cake with like chocolate chunks, and that tasted amazing, but it is the biggest recipe. And I think that's one of my things right there, like, they're all such large recipes.
They really are, actually. Yeah, huge serving sizes, like 23 centimeter cake tins and stuff, which is a lot.
Yeah, and that's a loaf cake, but it was like it came up so high, and it was so like it tasted amazing, but it just meant that the crust was kind of burnt because it's in the oven for like almost an hour, if not longer. But the middle was great. But anyway, so I made two things specifically for the pod. Luckily they were both okay. No disasters. So I made, there is savory stuff in here, and I was like, I'm gonna do it because it's tomato season, lads. Ding 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 ding.
Did you make the tomato tart?
Yes, did you?
No, but it looks delicious. Oh. I was tempted because I just feel like I always make the tomato tart of things. Yes. So I was like, no, I can't do it for this. It looks beautiful.
And it's just, it feels innovative and different.
Yeah.
And like, I'll talk about it, but the crust is different. Anyway, and it's tomato season. So I was like, I'm just going to go out and get some lovely British summer tomatoes. And this looks great. And there's just been another bank holiday here. And I had a couple of things that I was going to. So I was like, oh, I can take this. She talks. So like Hannah said, this whole book is all about being like quick and easy and not fussy. Mm-hmm. So the tart base in this one is, it reminded me of, like, making it a bit like a cheesecake base.
Oh,
like,
interesting.
It's not a pastry, really. There's none of that. So She calls it, in the intro, she says, "The peppery crust, which I've been told tastes like a Cheez-It or a refined Dorito, is worth the price of admission alone."
Refined Dorito is the band name of the week.
Yeah. What's your favourite Dorito flavour?
The chili, hot chili one.
Oh, nice. Chili Heatwave, I believe.
Chili Heatwave, yeah, sorry. I felt really on the spot there. I was like, oh my God, do I even eat Doritos? I do eat Doritos, can confirm. I'm also a fan of a Cool Ranch sometimes. Depends on the mood. Mm. What about you?
I like the cheesy ones, believe it or not.
Yeah, they're good.
They're great.
When you like to make nachos sometimes, don't you?
Yes.
What's your stance on, should that be a flavoured tortilla chip? That should be plain, plain. I agree with you on
How do you feel?
Yeah, no, plain, okay. Plain. Because you're doing all the work.
Salted, obviously.
Yeah,
but not,
we're not absolute fucking heathens, but...
No.
Like, I don't. No, you couldn't either. Have a cheesy Dorito in there.
No.
I agree.
I yeah, not even a Cool Ranch, even though they're kind of
they could meet the brief, but no, yeah.
They too, could meet the brief, strong. But no, absolutely not.
Glad we agree on that.
Anyway, me too. I feel I love nachos.
I love nachos.
I'd love to open a nacho restaurant. There's a restaurant in I went to Vegas a few years ago for my 30th birthday, and we went to this restaurant called Nacho Daddy. Nacho Daddy.
Nacho Daddy.
And it's a nacho restaurant, and it was so good.
Oh my God. Could you customize what you got on there? Or was it just like take what you get?
Probably customize, but there was so many choices. Like I had like the cheeseburger nachos, which just with like bad burger sauce and obviously cheese and beef. And I think Stephen had like a pulled pork barbecue-y one.
Wow.
But I... Look at their website a lot for, you know, just fun and seeing what their new ones are. But they have like lobster ones and it just it comes out, and obviously they just do these amazing like margaritas as well.
Oh, great.
I'd love that.
Yeah. I used to go to when I lived in Spain, there was an Irish pub, but they did the best nachos ever, and that was like a cold beer and like share them with a couple it's just the best thing. Anyway,
this nachos is not what I made.
It's natural episode nachos.
But if Nacho Daddy want to, sponsor an episode and us to fly out to Vegas to eat them, that we'll absolutely
anytime. Eat. Yeah, our second anytime. Biggest market, Nacho Daddy, is the US. Just FYI, we can send you some stats.
Right, so your base for this tomato tart. You mix flour, cornmeal, 50 grams of parmesan.
Hello.
Grated parmesan. Yeah. Salt, sugar, and black pepper. You mix all that together.
Nice.
And then you brown 85 grams of butter.
Ooh.
So you put that on the hob, brown it. She doesn't call it browning it, but she says, melt the butter. Whisking occasionally, scrape up the brown bits as they form and continue to cook the butter until it smells like popcorn.
Oh, she's veered away from a lot of the key phrases there, hasn't she?
Yeah.
It's like when, you know, she called a doll a stew.
Yeah. So, yes, you brown the butter and then you add that in to the
crummy
dry
crumbs.
Ingredients mixture. Yeah. You pour that over and mix it with your hands until it creates like a dough. And basically you just press that into a tart case.
Nice. Like
you would a cheesecake.
Yeah, that's great.
So she says, press it in first, making sure the sides are evenly packed, then pressing a nice even layer on the bottom.
Right. Do you press a nice even layer on your bottom?
Always.
Do you? I can't bear with an odd layer on my bottom.
No.
Your bottom deserves even layers. That's one of my daily affirmations.
Yeah. And rightly so, if you ask me. Prick it with a fork and then put it in the oven for 20 to 25 minutes until golden brown.
Nice.
And that's your base done. And she does say you could use it with other things, but tomatoes are the one here. Mm. And then, so you leave it to cool after you've done that. You could even, make the tart the next day, but you just, it's 900 grams of small tomatoes, thinly sliced. So there's not slicing tomatoes.
That's
which
a lot, isn't it? Nearly a kilo. Wow.
Yeah.
Just so you know. Did you know?
Yeah, I was going to say. Yeah,
900 grams less than a kilo. Less than a kilo. Math time with Hannah.
And so you slice those up and then you just kind of put them in the tart case. And she says arrange. So it's tomato, garlic, red chili flakes, capers, which are optional. So basically you just arrange the tomato and garlic slices in the blind baked chart shell in a nice even layer, seasoning with pinches of salt, pepper and chili flakes as you go.
Nice. That sounds good.
So you just keep on keeping on. And then you top with capers if you're using, and then drizzle everything with 2 tablespoons of olive oil and a bit more salt.
Gotcha.
And then you put it in the oven for about an hour.
Oh, so there's no like egg or cream or anything that like, but
no,
it's not like a quiche vibe. Oh wow.
No, it's just it's just tomatoes and garlic and whatever, and maybe capers. I did put capers on.
Maybe capers,
that's another good band name. And you just kind of, it says return to the oven and bake until the tomatoes are jammy and starting to brown and caramelize a little on top. 60 minutes. And then remove from the oven. And then she suggests splashing it with cherry red wine or white wine vinegar. Vinegar you've got on hand. A bit more olive oil. And serve it with parmesan and herbs. And what fun this was.
Really? Yeah, that sounds really good. I quite like that.
Yeah. I was worried because the tomatoes are so
juicy,
wet.
Yeah. Juicy.
Maybe a better word. That it just wouldn't, you know, it would just be soggy, soggy, soggy.
Yeah.
And it wasn't.
Oh.
I mean,
did it slice okay?
Yeah.
Oh.
It did. I mean, the crust is like crumbly, but in a nice
cheesecakey way.
Yeah, but it kind of reminded me of that the tomato tart from Claire Saffitz that you've made a couple of times with the feta. And it was really nice. I think I could have let it go in the oven for a bit longer to get this tomato a bit more jammy.
She loves a jammy tomato, doesn't she?
She does.
You jammy little tomato.
And she does say to like serve it with anchovies, and I agree.
That would be nice.
I think that it would be nice with that. But then I took it to like family party we were having, and it went down well. And then I had some kind of warmed up later, and the crust. I mean, she says that the crust is worth the price of admission, but yeah, it's nice. I mean, I'm not sure what you would put in there. Like you maybe would be better to you know, like even like leeks or something.
Oh, yeah.
Like, and then a bit of cheese or
your onions, caramelized onions or something would be interesting, right?
Frankly, I loved it and I would absolutely make it again. What I did do, like I said, the base is crumbly, and so my tart tin has like a removable bottom.
Right.
An even layer on my removable bottom. Which I kept on for like transporting it and slicing it, because I just thought, I think if I try to take this off it may all fall apart. But that was fine.
Like Kanye West. Oh no, he all fell down.
No, that's the Grand Old Duke of York. No, that's Humpty Dumpty.
What temperature would you say? Oh, sorry, niche question. Niche question alert. Is it nicer at room temperature or like warm room temperature?
Yeah, well, okay, says eat it on the day of making it, but if not room temperature, the next day is fine, which is how I cooked it, like late the night before, and then we ate it the next day. I think warm it would be really nice.
Yeah, I bet.
That
sounds great.
And I did actually, when I had it in the evening after everyone had gone from the party, I heated it in the air fryer for a couple of, of course, air fryer alert in the... for the evening, and then I had there was some mezcla ginger tomato dip left over.
Oh yeah,
and that was good. Obviously,
when worlds collide. That sounds great.
Spice. Yeah, it was good. The next thing I made, and I'll be really quick with these because why couldn't I? You know, why would I not make these? Mm-hmm. And they are the crunchy chocolate shortbreads,
ooh,
which she describes as if you ever made the salted butter chocolate chunk shortbread from my first cookbook and thought, I sure this wish these were all chocolate, then you will want to make these, brackets, these are these.
Oh.
And frankly, so that for, you know, first time listeners, are my favorite cookies. Those, yes. Those chocolate, it's 179.
I'm here.
And
great teeth, whoever that lady
yes,
is.
Yes, whoever that lady is on those. So they're very easy kind of cookie recipe. Are you okay?
There's a typo in here. Flaky sea salt for sprinkling.
Oh yeah. No, it's not a typo. That's how you do it. You sprinkle.
If you're not sprinkling, guys, you're doing it wrong. If you sprinkle when you tinkle, be a sweet and wipe the sea. Gross. Sorry. Bringing down the tone.
I won't talk too much about these, but it's just a very standard like shortbread cookie recipe like her other ones, but you add 75 grams of cocoa powder to the 290 grams of flour. That's such a big recipe.
Yeah, right.
Anyone who's made those cookies will know, you make the dough, which is you beat the butter and sugar, and it's a mix of granulated and brown sugar and vanilla, until that's light and fluffy. And then you add the flour mixture, which is, like I said, flour. It's just flour and the cocoa powder, because you're using salted butter.
Oh, nice.
Because it's salt. Salty, and then it's a chocolate chunk, so just chopped up chocolate, which 225, it's a massive recipe. And then you basically make it into like logs. These look very questionable in your fridge when they're chilling, because they're all chocolate. So you make two logs in cling film and roll them into kind of a log. You chill them for at least 2 hours.
Nice.
And then when you're ready to bake, the oven goes on at 180, and then you do like an egg wash on your log, and then roll it in sugar.
Oh yes, okay. So it is like the chocolate chunk.
So they all go crunchy.
And
then in the oven for about 12 minutes, you obviously chop them up.
Yeah.
She says she likes them to be like small, like little coins. So almost like a smaller diameter log than you maybe would think. And then they're kind of little. But I don't know how much I agree with that. I like a bigger cookie, but these are different when they're cooked from the short. So if you've ever made the shortbread, or you've heard me talk about the shortbread before, they hold their shape so well. Those you know, cookie, the herb, the ones really without chocolate in them, and these ones spread ever so slightly. And so she talks about like a lacy edge around them.
Didn't you go out with him in high school?
I wish.
Lacey Edge. He was the quarterback.
That's my wedding dress shop. Yeah, so they're like crisp, they're more like a crispy biscuit with like lacy, chocolatey, and you obviously when they come out, you obviously you sprinkle them with salt. And they're nice. They are no contender for my favorite cookie,
right?
And they do because of the way they hold their shape. And I don't know whether this should be the case, but I've cooked like 4 or 5 batches now, because it's such a big recipe, and they've always spread. I've done everything she said, you know. But they taste great.
Interesting.
They taste great warm as well, like fresh out the oven, like that, as shortbread often does. But I couldn't not make these. I thought they were nice. If you like a chocolatey chocolate cookie, then they'll be great. And they're easy. They're easy. And a crowd pleaser. That's what I made. I like them. What did you make?
I made, if you listen to the last episode, I think we mentioned there was one particular ingredient that we had left over that I didn't know what the hell I was going to do with. And that was
pineapple. Oh. So I made Barney's pineapple upside down cake.
Ooh, I'm glad you used the pineapple.
Yeah, me too.
No waste queen. Know.
Yeah, that's me. That's what they call me on the streets. And this is everywhere in this book. It's like, I think she kind of has it on one of the intro pages, and it's like been used a lot in the kind of PR of the book. Mine, I'm going to preface it by saying it was fucking ugly. I'm so sorry. I just didn't slice the pineapple very well. You know when like a total like noob does it and it looks like a star? It doesn't have the lovely like rounds.
Yeah. Well, because, but that's because you use like a pineapple cutter for that, right? That's not you.
I think she does have a whole page somewhere on how to cut a pineapple for this, which I just promptly ignored because I'm ridiculous. Anyway, and also because it's made with brown sugar. She uses maraschino cherries, which I couldn't find. I could only find glacé. And I think maraschino would hold their colour better in the oven.
Mm.
And it's like a brown sugar that you put on the base to like help cook the pineapple. But also like that makes it look a bit duller. So yeah, I'm really sorry. The photo's fucking ugly. But really, really liked the recipe. So firstly, you slice your pineapple. Again, yeah, huge recipe. It's a 25, she says 23 or 25 centimetre cake tin. So she said it really deserves a 25 centimetre one, which I had from only making a wedding cake. Like, I would never normally have like a 25 centimetre one.
Is that another one of your affirmations? I deserve a 25 centimetre cake tin.
If you don't love me at my 25 centimetre cake tin, you don't deserve me at my 23 centimetre. You sprinkle sugar, light brown sugar, on the base of that cake tin, and then you mosaic the pineapple on the bottom of the cake tin too. She says, like, cut pieces to fit the edges as you need. Decorate how you please with your cherries. She likes one in the middle of each ring. She says, isn't that sweet? I think so. And you have the option to drizzle rum over the pineapple. I didn't do that because I'm not going to buy rum just for a recipe. Yeah, but then you make the batter. And this batter is beautiful. It's like so silky and just like, ooh. I was just like, I wanted to just eat it raw. It looked delicious. You whisk together your dry stuff, flour, baking powder, bicarb, salt. And then in another bowl, you do buttermilk, vegetable oil, again, rum is optional, and vanilla. And then in a stand mixer, you cream butter, granulated sugar, and brown sugar, and you cream it so it's super light and fluffy. You add in eggs and egg yolks, so three large eggs and two egg yolks. And then you have to like beat it until it's almost doubled in volume, so it's like really airy and light.
Wow.
And then you put in a third of the flour mixture, half the buttermilk, third of the flour, half the buttermilk, the rest of the flour. So you're kind of alternating in the wet and dry. Mm. And then you pour it again. Yeah, like you said, there's so much of this, but it was just really pale and silky looking and delicious. And you pour that over the pineapple rings and you bake it all for like 40, 45 minutes.
Mm.
Yeah, she says you'll know it's ready when it's like the top springs back ever so slightly when it's pressed. Yeah, I stuck a skewer in there just to make sure because it browned quite quickly on the top. And then you leave it to cool for 5 or 10 minutes and then you invert it onto like a big plate. So I love this. The cake batter itself was really, really just, yeah, the sponge was really delicious and like almost like a lighter Madeira kind of cake. Not so dense, but just like, yeah. Lovely. And the pineapples went all nice and jammy. I gave it jammy. I mean, I don't know if they went jammy. I'm just using that word because we've used it like 7 times already this podcast. They went all nice and sweet. And I gave it to the couple that mind my mental dog. As because they are just lovely and I like baking for them and they loved it as well. But yeah, I mean, it's a great, I think it's probably a perfect pineapple upside down cake recipe. It's just huge is all. So like, I just wonder if you could cut it back by like a third or something and do like a slightly smaller, I mean, you don't want to fuck with that, but it just, you'll need a big tin. And please, like, cut your pineapple to look more attractive than mine is all I will say, because, yeah, saws in advance. But, yeah, it was lovely. Really, really like it. Really retro looking.
She does say in the intro, right, you can use apples, pears, nectarine, peaches, apricots, plums, yes, cherry, like, lots of other things.
Yeah, I guess it's a bit like that Jake Cohen, you know, upside down, yes, cake that he's like applied to loads of different fruits. Yeah, I've completely unfollowed him, by the way, because I'm so sick of cottage cheese content.
Cottage cheese, it's having a moment, but he is taking it way too far.
It's all about protein and like gym gains, and I just I'm done. So yeah, that was great. I would really recommend that recipe. It was lovely.
Also, it looks in her picture, I guess it's the cherries as well. It looks so, yeah, like 70s, doesn't it?
So yeah,
like it's so like, it looks so vintage and yeah, nice.
Yeah, it's beautiful. I think mine was a bit taller than hers, actually, but I don't know, you know, as is everything in my life, taller than everyone else. Would highly recommend. And then the second thing that I made, since we're on a shortbread vibe, was the salted pistachio shortbread.
Oh, nice. I thought about you when I saw that. I was like, I bet you'd like that.
What was funny was I had some pistachios in the cupboard for this, and like almost enough. This uses 95 grams. I had like 75 grams. I was like, shit, okay, I'll buy another pack of pistachios. Got to the supermarket and they only had the shelled ones, which are obviously a pain in the arse.
Oh, sorry. I thought you meant like they had been shelled.
Oh, no, sorry. They had the shells on. Whatever. I think that is the wrong phrase.
I was like, is that okay?
And then I was like coming back from the shop and I was stopped at this really cute little cookie stand in Crystal Palace called Crystal Cookies. And it's this guy selling cookies out at the end of his like garden path.
Shout out to Crystal Cookies, man. I had first one a couple of weeks ago. They're so good.
So good. But I always get the peanut butter one because I fucking love it. And then I was standing there with like my bag of pistachios and I ordered the pistachio cookie. And he was like, okay. And he's like looking at me and he's like, you've got some pistachios there too. And I was like, oh shit, yeah. I'm like, I'm going home to make these Alison Roman like salted pistachio shortbreads. And he's like, it's going to take you a long time to shell all of those. And I was like, I only need 20 grams. Got home, fucking ham. A pistachio's like, they're basically a gram each when you take the shell off. So I was still standing there like shelling like fucking 25 pistachios. Is I think I did that for one of our early episodes as well, and a Nigella one or something. Just always buy the unshelled ones if you can, because yes, they're an absolute pain in the arse. Aside from having to do that, this is like the easiest recipe in the world. It's... Mm. Again, a 23 centimeter tin, so big boy. But you do it all in the food processor. Hey, so you, boy. Hey, big boy, you ready to have some shortbread in you? in the food processor, chop the pistachios until they're ground. Take out 2 tablespoons that you'll scatter over the topping later. Then into the food processor you add icing sugar, butter, salt. You pulse that until they're all combined. Add in the flour, and then it all just comes together in a dough in the processor. And then she says if your processor is having trouble, just dump it out onto the counter and it'll come together once you mix it by hand. But mine, even I have a mini one, and it was fine in there. And then you just press it into the tart tin in an even layer. You sprinkle it with those 2 tablespoons of ground pistachios that you took out, and of course some salt. Of course. And then you just bake it in the oven for like 20 minutes.
Oh.
And she says you can dust it with more icing sugar if you like. I didn't do that because I think it's usually like sweet enough. Hey. And then you slice it into 24 thin wedges. And so, she tells you how to do that. And then you just let it cool completely. It's quite crumbly when it was sliced, actually. But, like, I feel like, you know, the little apex of the wedges would kind of, yes, like, stay in the tin. But it was delicious. Like, I love pistachio anything. And also, because it makes so much, I swear, I just had so much to give to people. Like, we met my friend for a drink on Saturday and I brought her some to bring home, and then I brought some when I was visiting people on Sunday, and there's just like so much of it that you can just, yeah, share it around. But it has that lovely pistachio flavor, quite salty, but yeah, just, yeah, delicious, really, really nice.
Yeah, and it looks great, like in the round. It looks nice.
Oh. Yeah, it was really great. She's a shortbread queen, isn't she? She bloody loves it.
Yeah, there's a number of shortbread things, right? There's just salted shortbread.
Yeah,
there's she has those a whole chocolate ones on that it. I talked about. There's the lemon shortbread that I talked about.
Yeah.
She
says it's her, like, it's basically the cookies chapter. And she said shortbread remains at the top of the heap because it has a multitude of recipes. And she said the following recipes are mostly shortbread. So, yeah, she's just obsessed. She's obsessed.
But, yeah, nice.
I was surprised you didn't make the black and white cookies. I thought you might go for those.
I thought about it, but they didn't speak to me as much as... Yeah. For those who haven't heard me talk about it before, I love those like New York style black and white cookies that you get that are kind of like basically like cakes.
Yes.
But she says about these ones, they're not cakey. They're more like a sugar cookie. But then I did like the black sesames on the half of them. That's what
is
the black and the black and white. Great. Was there anything that you wanted to make or you...
Lots of things. There was a cauliflower galette thing that looked into... Oh, here it is. Creamy cauliflower galette. I never thought about cauliflower in a galette, but I really like that idea. There's a leek in there too in Gruyere. I just think that would be a good one for like a picnic or something. Your tomato tart, I'm now like... Yeah, fully invested.
Yeah,
in it.
I feel like you should make that. I think.
Yeah.
It's easy.
Yeah, it sounds really easy. I like that pastry idea. Honestly, quite a lot of it. I thought it looked. There was a lot that kind of spoke to me. There's an almond cake with figs. The raspberry ricotta cake looks nice. A lot of the like American classics of like sheet cake and stuff like that. But she has like a carrot cake that is like a kind of more simple one, doesn't have raisins or nuts, and it's just like a thin icing on top that looks cute. Not the many mushrooms pot pie, because I'm not really a fan of mushrooms.
I thought that looked great, obviously.
Yeah. CD breakfast cake. Yeah, there was a lot. What about you?
Yeah, same. A lot. I like the the savory chapter. Her galette. I've never made a galette, and I feel like I'm going to pledge to make a galette soon. But I feel like she's got this. There's a recipe in here for like mini strawberry galettes, right? And they feel like they're all over Instagram, and they do look great, and they're so summery and nice. I mean, obviously, I'm not going to make that, but because I'm allergic to strawberries, just FYI. And I just think, loads. I want to make that chocolate cake again that I mentioned. The chocolate sour cream pound cake. And maybe I would cover it up for like the second half of the bake, just so that it doesn't get too burnt on top, because I think that actually, like, it would be such a treat for some people. She talks about in the intro to that cake how she doesn't like chocolate cake, but she loves these Costco muffins that are like chocolate chip.
Oh, nice.
And that's what it did remind me of, like and this is like an homage to that, like it tastes like a chocolate muffin, like really soft, and the chunks. What else?
The mint and chip ice cream cake looks fun too.
Yeah, there's a lot of like frozen-y stuff, isn't there?
Yeah, I feel like that's something we don't do that much here, is like a lot of frozen desserts. But it's quite an American thing, and I like it.
Lemon shaker pie. Did you see that? It's on page 67.
Yeah, briefly.
And it's just, I don't really know what a shaker pie is, but it looks lovely. She also loves lemons, doesn't she, as well as salt.
Yeah,
black and blue hand pies. Yeah, that's interesting. They look great. Like, it's all just...
Sounds a bit violent, that.
Toasted oat and honey cobbler. Sounds great. She has a banana bread recipe. Sadly. Basically, you know, I'm a fan of this. She does have a tahini caramel, doesn't she?
Yeah, that sounds great.
And her the only pie crust, which is in all of her books. She wrote it for the book for Dining In. It's also in Nothing Fancy, and it's in this, because she's like, it's good, and I'm well, let's not mess with it.
Shall we rate? Right?
Shall I remind you all about our rating system?
Yes, please. Me included.
I know you
I always forget.
So every episode where we cover a book, we will rate, because we're you know, doing things a little bit differently this season. But yes,
we're diversifying. Yeah.
Every time we cover a book, we rate the book, and we have five criteria that we rate out of, which I will say in a minute to remind you all. But each episode, we also change what we rate out of based on the book or the chef or, you know, something basically a bit funny that we find. So here's our rating system, and then we'll talk about what we're going to rate Alice and Roman out of. But you may have already guessed it. So our five criteria are usability and accessibility. That's one. Ingredients used. That's another one. Is it veggie friendly? That's another one. Aesthetics. And then finally, inspirability. And of course, we are going to rate Alice and Roman Sweet Enough out of salt.
Because now everything seems... Yeah, at odds with the title. But no, maybe it's not. It's complimentary to the title.
Yeah, there you go. It brings out the flavours of the title. And maybe if this is a true redemption, you know, it's good for us. We were salty on the last episode about her. But now she gets rated out of salt.
Now we're being sweet enough.
Yeah.
Well, let's see. Are
let's
we?
Let's see. So, Hannah?
Yeah.
Tell us your redemption rating.
That's one. So usability and accessibility, that's one. I am going to give it one there. I found it very easy. A lot of food processor stuff from what you said about like the tomato tart and stuff. Nothing's too involved or nuts, which is nice. No nuts. No, there's lots of nuts, but it's not nuts.
Often the nuts are optional.
That's true. It's good in life. It's good in books. The ingredients used, yeah, that's one, because there was nothing crazy, like we said, no like mad tropical stuff. Probably tahini is like as mad as it gets. Aesthetics, I am going to give it one. I really like the layout of it and the photos, and it's quite easy to read the recipes. They're all quite, you know, there are like that lacy edges page is quite confusing, because you think it's going to go into a lacy edges chapter, but it doesn't. It's just talking. It's just like a mini celebration of lacy edges. But no, still going to give it one. Vegetarian friendly, yes, absolutely. There's not even any like gelatin or anything in here, considering it's a baking book.
But there is anchovies, but they are optional.
Yes, generally. That's true. Just like nuts
and nuts and anchovies optional is my bad name of the week.
Yeah. And inspirability, I'm going to give it half, I think. I was into a lot of it, but then some of the kind of like pudding stuff or whatever, or like, you know, the yellow sheet cakes and stuff like that, that I, you know, just don't do it as much for me. I would have loved more savory in here, actually, on that point. But no, in general, I think it's great. And I think it could be, you know, it'll be going beside Claire Saffitz on the shelf for when you need to bake something and you know that it's going to, hopefully work. So, yeah, I'm giving it 4.5 salts out of 5.
More savory baking books. I feel like Alice and Roman would absolutely nail a savory baking book.
Yes, 100%.
Request for that to be your next one, Ali.
Yeah, now you're listening.
Now you're...
Maybe listen to this one, not the other one.
Yeah.
What about you, Vic? What are you giving this out of?
Very similar. So usability and accessibility, that's one. That gets one. Same as you. Very easy, accessible. Didn't have any issue. Well, as we know, I had issues previously. I'm going to try those scones again and I will report back.
Okay.
Ingredients used, also one. It's a no-brainer. I found everything. There was nothing. Mm-hmm. And everything that is, like I said, about nuts and anchovies and like even the preserved lemons in that lemon shortbread are optional.
Oh, right? Are they?
Those lemons are easy to find, but
yeah,
you know, you don't. Yeah. Veggie friendly. Yes. Like we just said. Aesthetics. I'm taking half off for aesthetics because I found some of it a bit confusing in terms of like those big pages where you, like you said, that lacy edges one. I find some of it a bit jarring. The recipes themselves, the pages are great. The pictures are lovely, but just some of the little interludes I found a bit
a bit confusing, a bit jarring. Mm-hmm. But then Inspirability, I'm giving it a whole one.
Oh, a whole
because
one.
I loved it. I thought, you know, even before I was cooking specifically for the pod, I was like really wanted to cook from it, really wanted to do various things in it. So yeah, it's wow. Another 4.5 salts. I think I'm it's also going on the shelf to do. It feels very much also like a summery cookbook, doesn't it? Like there's a lot
it
of
it really does, yeah.
And stuff and stuff with fruits that would just be good over the summer.
It's the redemption episode.
She's been redeemed.
Isn't there a Bob Marley song that's redemption?
Maybe.
Rather than singing it, I'm just bobbing in my seat.
Bob it. Bob Marley.
Bob it.
So well done, Nelson. Yep. We salute you on your baking book. And next
what's
stop,
the fourth one going to be? Maybe this is the only person that we've reviewed all of their books.
Yeah, that's a good... Well, apart from those that just have one.
Yeah, they don't count. Losers. Yeah. Get on it, slackers.
Get on it. What are you doing with your life?
Well, this went well.
This went better than last time.
On page 69, she says she's a diehard salt person.
There we go. Blank person. They're obsessed.
What are you, if you're a person?
I'm not a person. That's the problem.
Oh, yeah. You're a myth.
What am I? Maybe a, you know, crunch person.
You're a texture person. Yeah, texture I don't know what person. I am. I'm a cheese person.
A cheese person.
I am a potato person.
I feel like you're a bread person.
Just a big
You're a toast person. That's who
I'm
you
a
are.
Toast person. Yes. Yeah, that's true. Toast and texture. That's the name of our business.
Oh my god! Oh my god. Anyway, thank you guys for
listening. Thank you for listening.
We will see you next time.
Love you.
Love you. Bye. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Cookbook Circle. If you enjoyed it, please subscribe wherever you listen to your podcast and leave us a review as it helps others to find us and enjoy us. You can see how the recipes from this episode turned out on our Instagram at Cookbook Circle, where you can also get in touch with us, let us know your thoughts, feedback, ideas for episodes, whatever you like. We really love to hear from all of you. So we'll see you next time. Bye.
Bye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There's stories and mythology that this country has woven around Black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders. And we are.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like worried of police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.